It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here! Tonight, let us make them remember. We are not afraid!
Unafeared, unafeared, unafeared here on Declare Your Independence. With me, Ernest Hancock from Phoenix, Arizona, from the beautiful studios of Freedoms of the Nest, freedomsphoenix.com. Well, we have a special guest today, Robert Scheer. He's the author of The Great American Stick-Up. You know how Reagan Republicans and Clinton Democrats enriched Wall Street while mugging Main Street. Now, Robert Scheer has built a reputation for strong social and political writing over his 30 years as a journalist. I'm reading his bio here. It's a very interesting. His columns appear in newspapers across the country, and his in-depth interviews have made headlines. He conducted the famous Playboy magazine interview in which Jimmy Carter confessed to the lust in his heart. And he went on to do many interviews for Los Angeles Times with Richard Nixon, Ronald Reagan, Bill Clinton, and many other prominent political and cultural figures. Between 64 and 69, he was a Vietnam correspondent. So here's somebody that's done journalism inside mainstream, the lamestream media, the media that's so last century, but he's bringing it up to speed. And we're going to talk about it from an historical perspective on how we got to where we are now, and he can help us understand. Robert Scheer, is that how you say it, Scheer? Am I getting it right?
Scheer is fine, yeah.
Thank you, Robert.
I'm the editor of TruthDig.com, which is, you know, internet media, so it's quite current.
TruthDig.com.
Yeah.
Oh, we were going to promote it here in a little bit, I promise.
Okay. Right.
Now, go ahead and tell us about your article, The Great American Stick-Up.
No, it's a book. It's a book they can buy.
I apologize, I mean the book.
It's only about 10 bucks on the line. And what I did, I covered the deregulation that took place in the 90s under Clinton, and I'm trying to explain why people in Phoenix are losing their houses, as well as in, you know, much of the country, and even the people who have paid up their mortgages and own their house outright now feel like the houses are worth a lot less than they thought they were. So there's a lot of pain out there, and I try to trace where this came from.
Okay, let's go ahead and make sure we understand each other's perspective, because I'm gonna give it to you. I'm gonna tell you right up front. I'm a hardcore, no compromise libertarian.
So
my point is that
I'm with Ron Paul on this one. By the way, I'm not asking for government to have stepped in. The problem is government did step in. Government stepped in on behalf of Wall Street.
Yeah, and I want them to step out. I mean, what do you want?
You're talking about,
as I look at the stuff here, it's about, they deregulated here, they deregulated there, and I'm going, no, they didn't really deregulate.
No, listen, what they did was they gave what Lawrence Summers, who's now the top economic advisor in the government, would call legal sanctity to stuff that should not have been given legal sanctity. So what they was is that it used to be you got a mortgage, it was for 30 years, you had to put down 20%, and, you know, they checked your credit, they appraised your house, the bank, because they were going to be stuck with this house if you couldn't pay up, okay? And what was made legal, which should not have been made legal and did not exist in Adam Smith's capitalism, didn't even exist in Ronald Reagan's capitalism, was this idea of taking mortgages, putting them into these packages of collateralized debt obligations, these big securities that no one could understand, and then backing up with phony credit default swaps and selling them. That should have not been made legal. It was made legal by the Commodity Futures Modernization Act, which Bill Clinton signed off on and which Republicans and Democrats supported in Congress. And that opened the door for a scam that has hurt a lot of people that are listening to this show.
Okay, and I want to make sure.
Where it came from, it's because something, if the mafia had done it, they'd be in jail. But what the banks were allowed to do, something they shouldn't have been allowed to do.
And I want to ask one question, see if you know the answer.
Yeah.
They did this, why?
Because they bought off Congress.
Because they can! Because
they can! You're right.
I mean, the whole thing, you'll go, oh, they shouldn't, and how did they? And I go, because they can!
You could be a libertarian and still think the consumer requires some protection of transparency.
Yeah, it's called the free market.
Right?
It's called the free market. It's called quit subsidizing them ripping me off. Stop. Stop.
Okay,
the free market will cure it.
What if somebody comes along and just as an absolute fraud defrauds you? Then they should.
Libertarians all about it. I do not advocate the initiation of force or fraud for political, social, or economic gain. That is the libertarian pledge right there. Do not advocate the initiation of force or fraud.
We have some agreement here just so we don't start yelling at each other. I'm with Ron Paul on this thing because I think the real problem is that we don't know what's going on because the Fed and Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac, the big agencies, were in cahoots with the big banks to basically keep us in the dark. Okay? And what I'm talking about and what my book describes is how this came to be. Now, if you want the inside story,
please,
you got to read the book, you know. But I'm willing to explain it to you that stuff that was done would have been considered illegal. Okay, you know, including teaser rates on homes and hustling people in with fine print and not telling them the truth about the loans they were getting. Then taking these loans, and you think you got a loan with Wells Fargo, but Wells Fargo takes your loan and puts it in a big fat security that's sold, and you don't even know who ends up owning your home.
Heck, they don't even know who ends up owning the home.
Who?
The banks, they don't know.
Somebody in Nepal, who?
They don't even know. You go, look, I want to see the note, and they go, we don't know where it's at.
Okay, so you got to have some protection in the market. I think Adam Smith believed in that. I don't know. It seems to me you got to have some protection in the market where, you know, people are not defrauded outright.
Fraud is a crime.
And what happened here is the power of government, which should alarm a libertarian. The power of government was married to the power of Wall Street, and the rest of us got screwed. That's really the story here. They made fraud legal, exactly.
And so you can say, well, it's illegal. No, it's not. They made it legal.
That's right. They made it legal.
And I'm going, what is the whole purpose of government? The defense of individual rights. They made it legal to defraud you out of your stuff. That is the most unlibertarian thing. And in fact, it is only able to happen when you have government making fraud legal.
Right. That's true.
So
government gave sanctity. That's what they call it. Lawrence Summer called legal certainty. Government put a stamp of approval. It did it with Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac back in these mortgages so that it seemed like we had government money behind it. It did it with the accrediting agencies saying this stuff was all solid and worthwhile. Government was up to its eyeballs in this, and it wouldn't have happened without government because the majesty of government was given to the thieves in this situation. Yes, that's absolutely true.
My brother-in-law is one of the raiders at Moody's, so you can imagine the conversations we have.
Yeah.
And I'm going, look, how did the AAA rating on subprime with the backing up, blah, 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 how did that even happen? Well, you know, based on crap. You're just, I mean, you're,
well,
you're
me
part of the machine.
Crap happened, in case you talk to your brother-in-law again. What happened was that Angela Mozzillo from Countrywide made a deal with Fannie Mae and came in, and they adapted Countrywide's whole idea of accrediting community. So you don't even have to talk to a loan officer. They were willing to back loans that Countrywide would make just based on some kind of computer run that he had designed, that his company had designed. And then Fannie Mae used the power of government. It's true. They were government-sponsored, government sponsored agency and said, we'll put our power behind these mortgages, and then they'll all be wrapped into a security, and then your brother-in-law at Moody's will give it a nice rating, and then AIG will say, we'll give you an insurance policy, except they didn't put any money down to back the insurance policy. They didn't look at the package. And when these guys came to testify before Congress, the big CEOs all said they didn't even know what was in these things. And Henry Paulson, who had been at Goldman Sachs and then went into the government to be Treasury Secretary under Bush, in his own book, he admits he didn't even know mortgages were at the bottom of these toxic derivatives. When he first heard about it, he didn't even know that. He was briefing Bush, and my first page of my book, Bush says to Paulson, it comes from Paulson's book, his memoir, and Bush says to Paulson, how did this happen? He asked him, how did this happen? And Treasury Secretary Henry Paulson said, it was a humbling question for someone from the financial sector to be asked. After all, we were the ones responsible. And then when you read in Paulson's memoir, he admits that he didn't know that the packages were made up of these mortgages. He didn't understand that.
Yeah, maybe he didn't, but somebody did. And as we look back, it's very easy to see what happened. They created little number lines in an Excel spreadsheet so they could trade it in computer trading 50 gazillion times a day because they can, and it made them a lot of money. Well, you know, this is going to be an interesting interview with Robert Scheer when we come back here on Declare Your Independence in just a little bit. How did it happen?
Freedom's the answer. What's the question? You're listening to Ernest Hancock.
Oh, the great American stick-up. Yeah, we need to know what's what. You know, I just want to make sure we're talking about the same thing and get the right words, and we all know the definition of. Because, man, I'm just, oh, I see, you know, no. You'll say, well, you know, deregulation, I'm, you know, so I got that cleared up. I feel a lot better. Now, we have Robert Scheer. He has built a reputation over 30 years as a journalist. Heck, even more than that. You know, he's a Vietnam correspondent back in the 60s, and I'm telling you, from there he went on to interview presidents. And, you know, get an inside view of what's what. So the book, The Great American Stick Up, I'm sure we would all get all kinds of goodies out of that. So let's go ahead and let Robert give his spiel, man, because I want to go ahead and tell the story, because what they did is not a big giant surprise to me. They made it legal to steal from us. And I'm going, oh, gee, you know why? Because they can. They did. Now what?
Well, this is a real question. Are you asking me a question?
Please.
Yeah. This is a real question I always want to ask libertarians, you know, because you want the free market, you want government out of
free.
These things. But the fact is, the business doesn't feel that way, a big business.
Yeah, because they are the government. What, you think there's a difference between Goldman Sachs and the United States government? Show me the difference.
Okay, well, see, now, so we're just really quibbling about language here.
It's corporatism.
Yeah.
You know, this free market has nothing to do. I keep hearing this. I go, you know, well, capitalism. I go, capitalism? We haven't had it in my freaking entire life.
Okay, so this is my point. When these rules were being changed, you know, back in the 90s and under Clinton, there are two pieces of legislation. One is called the Financial Services Modernization Act, and the other is called the Commodity Futures Modernization Act. They use the word modernization. Every time you hear that, you should make sure your wallet's still in your pocket. And that was passed. Bill Clinton signed on it, but it's what Wall Street wanted. And Bill Clinton signed off on it because Robert Rubin, who had been, you know, one of the top guys at Goldman Sachs before becoming Treasury Secretary, Bill Clinton said, why doesn't Wall Street like us Democrats more? You know, we're with them. And they said, well, you gotta give us legal certainty for these new financial things that we're doing, because otherwise we're not going to be competitive, blah, 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 in the world. So, you know, realize what we're talking about. We're talking about collateralized debt obligations. Right there, you know, it's something phony that you're selling.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're not selling wheat. You're not selling refrigerators. Collateralized debt obligations. So, for instance, Goldman Sachs went over to Greece, and they sold proceeds that would come from the airport tax system on air travelers, future revenues. So, and then they slice and dice it, you know, which one's more risk, you know, tranches, you know, which one, and then they get a phony insurance policy on this. And this is international. And it's a new kind of scam that has legitimacy, because otherwise no one would buy it. It's backed by the U.S. government, you know, it's backed by these foreign governments as well when they do it. And so that's why people buy into it. They say, well, this can't be so bad, you know, and it's insured by a company like AIG, and everybody thought, well, AIG was a respected insurance company, but now they weren't selling, you know, respected insurance policies. They didn't know what they were doing. They had some hot shots in London selling this garbage, and it was bringing money, and nobody wanted to check on it. So you really have a situation there that is very confusing to most people. And it cuts through these categories of who's for the market and who's against the market, you know. Because if you can have Adam Smith's market, you know, which means a market that's not manipulated, that doesn't have these large corporations' concentration of power and everything, well, yeah, that's the best way to go. That's the most efficient way to go, no question. But, you know, I work for the Los Angeles Times, okay? And they came to be bought by the Tribune Corporation. Those people wanted the what was called the Telecommunications Act. They wanted all this stuff passed, you know. And the claim was they were getting government off their backs, but they actually were putting government at their service. That's what happened. So what happens when the LA Times Tribune Company went into bankruptcy? The paper that I worked for 29 years is now in bankruptcy. And they're protected. They took away our health care. I'm personally owed money that I never received that was owed me, but they went bankrupt, so they don't have to pay me. And they're protected by the government. They got the government to allow them to do certain things, you know, and then when they went, they got screwed up, the government bailed them out and gives them protection.
Shocking.
Yeah, it is shocking.
Shock? You know it? No, it's not.
It is
because
shocking.
They can.
It is shocking because most of us are naive about this stuff. Now,
I'm not.
You've followed it very closely all your life, and that's something else. But I'm telling you, the average person in Phoenix who's losing their home or lost their home, they think they're at fault.
Oh, they're getting an education now. They're getting an education now. I tell you, this has been, we have been screaming this. I've been doing this for 22 years, 1988. I started waking up as a young man in my late 20s, and I'm going, you know, this is not what they promised me in junior high. This is not it. In 88, they passed the Omnibus Trade Competitiveness Act right at the end of the Reagan administration, going into Daddy Bush and Mossbacher, head of commerce. It so unfolded before me exactly what kind of people they were. They did everything they could to benefit them. That's right. They, them, those. Who are they, them, those? There are those that just want to be left alone. There are those that just won't leave them alone. Which one are you? I mean, the point is so simple. It's that whenever you allow for this government power and redefinition of words and what is and is not legal and how complicated it can be, and really the only thing, and that's why this show is called Declare Your Independence, because the only thing that the Declaration of Independence made very clear is how to determine what a bad government was. When they're not defending your individual rights, it's time to alter or abolish. That is their only purpose. And what they used the government to do was to defraud the people out of their money, is to redefine words and how they can use these mortgages and create whatever the heck they wanted out of them and call it a mortgage-backed security. It's not backed by a mortgage and it's not secure. So I'm going, it's just a lie. Government always calls, whatever they call it, it's 180 degrees from whatever they call it. Patriot Act, you know, I mean, it's always the exact opposite. So I'm going, okay, so now we got this situation and we're going to, you know, I mean, if you do this, you're going to drive me freaking crazy. You go, well, we need more regulation. No, we don't. We need more just laws. We need a law against force and fraud. We need to make it very clear.
Let me just stop you right there, because I agree with you. If that's what we're talking about here, that last sentence, laws against fraud, that's what I'm for. And you don't want to call it, fine, let's not call it regulation. I mean, I don't like government telling me what to do. I happen to believe in I'm an absolutist on First Amendment rights. I think we should be able to write what we want, think what we want, and so forth, and interact with each other as free individual people. So, you know, don't get me wrong here. I don't want to quibble. I'm not a big fan of regulation. What I am in favor of is, to the degree that you have law and you have the police enforcing the law, it should be to protect the rights of individuals. And that means that they shouldn't be conned. We don't let the mafia break your kneecaps, you know, and give you a loan sharking. That's a crime.
Amen, brother. We get our definitions right. We can be buddies.
Deceive you, and we don't have any leverage against them. And then the marshals will come seize your house. Don't forget that. You know, if the bank makes this bad loan deliberately, and then they sell it somewhere and sell it in there, and then somebody comes along and says, you know, we want to grab your house, they'll have the marshals come. And they'll throw you out of the house. And right now, the Fed, which, by the way, Ron Paul has been most effective in exposing, libertarian, and he got a law actually passed where they at least have to give us a little bit of audit there. But the Fed right now is holding $2 trillion worth of these toxic mortgage assets, right? $2 trillion. And any time it looks like, you know, the market might get a little better, they're going to dump that stuff. That's why housing is in the toilet. And if housing is in the toilet, consumption's in the toilet, and we're not going to get a recovery. That's the real problem right now. They're holding this stuff to bail out the banks, take it off their books, make the banks whole, and we got nothing in return. We bailed out the banks, and we got nothing in return.
I tell you a couple of things I can share with you, and you understand my perspective, and then we'll go into break and have the final segment with Robert Scheer, the great American stick-up. You know, I give you props, man. You know, we just got to get our definition of our words going on here. Last Thursday, there was a meeting, a forum that a woman, she's an ASU professor, and she writes for the Arizona Republic up here, which is owned by Gannett and such, and she really advocates, you know, for free market. We got to honor contracts and everything. Her name's Marianne Jennings. And in the meeting, it was like, we can't just walk away from these mortgages. It'll, you know, everything will come crashing down and so on. And of course, a lot of the audience was going, look, it was all fraudulent stuff anyway, blah, blah, blah. And then there was a local attorney. He made a good point. He goes, when they signed the contract, you know, to be able to do this mortgage, they put up their house. If I don't make the payments, you take the house. That was the deal. They're not walking away from it. Well, they didn't want anything down or all this other stuff. They go, okay, I'm walking up. I'll abide by the deal. There's no violation of ethics here. The deal was, I don't make payments, you get a house. There's a house. Have a nice day. Oh, the truth comes out.
Rhodes? It's the Ernest Hancock Show. Where we're going, there aren't any roads.
Yeah, we're running against the wind. Oh, it's blowing pretty hard, too. Well, we got Robert Scheer on. He's author of the book, The Great American Stick-Up, How Reagan Republicans and Clinton Democrats Enriched Wall Street While Mugging Main Street. That pretty much just says it right there. You know, I'm glad we had an opportunity to go a full hour so that we could, you know, get our definition straight here, because I, you know, we have not had a free market in my entire life. I was born in 61. I'm 49 years old, and having a, as I get older, I started waking up in mid 20s, and I'm going, this everything is such a lie of what they told me, tried to tell me in my government schools and junior high and high school and college, and I'm going, this is so much crap. And I went, it was straight into the belly of the beast, down the Bush Trade Competitiveness Act of 88, in the Bush administration, dealing with Sanders, on and on and on, helped my father's company. I could see what they were doing. They were a gang with a flag, a badge, and a gun. And I'm going, okay, I get it. And to think that they wouldn't do something like this to create the biggest bank robbery there ever was, and that's what you call it, the Great American Stick-Up. And I've always referred to it as the biggest bank robbery there ever was. So we're on the same page, man. But I want to ask you one thing, Robert. The solution is what? I vote no government, man. But, I mean, you know, hey, that might be extreme.
Well, you had it before. You know, I'm learning something on this show. I got to change my language a little bit also.
Please.
I'm not, you know, just in favor of regulation, you know, like it's a great thing. You know, most of the time it leads to oppression and deception. What I am interested in is preventing fraud and, you know, locking up people or exposing people when they commit fraud. and telling somebody, taking some drunk off the street, you know, has happened in some cases, and said, you can buy a house, and here, just sign here, don't read it, and it'll be great, and you know, we don't even know who you are, and then maybe not see you again, but meanwhile, we'll wrap it into some package and send. Well, that should be a crime. That's fraud. And if you don't want to use the regulation, just say, let's enforce sensible laws about fraud. You know, and when you sign a contract, you know, it's supposed to be notarized. You're supposed to be clear about your language. You're not supposed to lie in the contract. And a consumer has got to be protected in that sense, because they don't have the full time to be exploring the whole legal history of everything. They got to assume an appraiser is an appraiser. They got to assume a notary public is a notary public. They got to assume a signature means something. These banks are chartered, for God's sake. That should mean something. All of that broke down. You thought you were cutting a deal with Bank of America, and you weren't. They were going to be out of the picture in 24 hours.
When your credit card application or agreement gets to be multiple in the teens pages, you know you got issues. And yeah, all it is just a legalized theft. It's all for the benefit of them. And the more you get government involved, the more it is used to do what the people that have the power and the money to get it to do. You create this, even when you do regulation, we got people that say, oh, we got to protect the consumer. And I'm going, well, I guarantee you the agency that you create to protect the consumer is going to be headed by Goldman Sachs flunky that gets in there and says, yeah, I'm the man. And that's exactly what happened during the 90s and 2000 after the millennia. They just put their boys in and do whatever the heck it is that they want.
Right now, the Commodity Futures Trading Commission, which is supposed to be supervising this, is run by a guy who was a partner at Goldman Sachs. I mean, it's not like they disappeared. There's more Goldman Sachs people in the government now than there were before.
Well, tell me who your book exposes. I mean, when you're going to your book, you're going, you know, the systemic thing, I got it down, because they can. I mean, you can make it all kind of blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
You create a mechanism, they do it.
I'll have that. I'm surprised you didn't get a copy. I'll send you. That's what you're supposed to publish.
Please.
You're supposed to do.
No, but, they didn't send me a copy.
You want to center on Robert Rubin, who went from Goldman Sachs into the government. You know, he was supposed to be a Democrat, so Clinton, you know, said, hey, how do I get the Wall Street to like us? And he said, you know, just change these laws that make what we're doing legal. And Clinton did it, and Greenspan was on it. We'll give you cheap money. The economy will look good. It'll be a Ponzi scheme. And then what happened to Robert Rubin? He leaves the government after they changed the law so that Travelers Insurance and Citibank could merge. He goes to work for the new bank called Citigroup. He goes working, he gets $15 million a year, and he's there right through the whole meltdown, only leaves in 2009, you know, no sense of responsibility. I mean, he just goes right through this platinum revolving door. What happens to Citigroup? It's too big to fail, so we have to back up $300 billion of their toxic mortgages. We have to give them $45 billion. We now own a chunk of their stock. We, the taxpayers, own a chunk of their stock, and Robert Rubin is gone with his, what, $130 million that he got.
And he writes the
book. A too big to fail bank that he changed the law to make legal.
And you're right. He writes books. Was it Rubin and or Pearl? I can't remember. I did a morning show one time, and you read their books. And I was taking over the morning show one time, and they had, I think it was Rubin, and they had him scheduled. And they go, well, you want us to reschedule him because the morning show? No. I'll bring him on. And I look at the first page and the last page of his book, and I go, I get it. I already, slap them around a little bit, and it comes down to one thing these guys want. They want more government power. They want to be able to regulate the economy in our best interest because they love us. And I'm going, stop loving me. I wish you didn't love me so much. So I'm advocating not, you know, more regulation and so on. I'm advocating truth, justice, and whatever used to be this American way thing. I mean, you know,
well, it's... I'm with you 100% on this. If you could just get the fraud out of it, you know, then I'm a happy camper. Tell people what they're paying in the interest on the credit card. Tell them what the mortgage is. Tell them that they're not going, that the bank is not going to hold the mortgage. How many people were told, hey, you're signing up with Wells Fargo, but Wells Fargo will not own this mortgage 3 months from now?
No, it was illegal. I'll tell you one thing you may not know. This would be to your benefit. We've been following this, you know, how each one of the, because we went through the savings and loan here in Arizona before, and we knew what happened. Sooner or later, they take all these bankrupt companies and all these default bad debts and their toxic, you know, debt and all this other crap, and they put them into groups, portfolios and so on. They sit out there. Then they'll approve only a few people by whatever definition they come up with that can bid on these groups of properties. And of course, it won't be a big development that has 300 lots out there that you can bid on and an auction of just individuals going out and they would get more money anyway. No. It's got to be all in one thing. Oh, and with another development. Oh, and with a golf course. Oh, and with a bunch of other stuff. And only for $100 million or something, which is, you know, 10 cents on the dollar of $1 billion projects or whatever, that somebody they pre-approve can bid on it. And I'm telling you, we've been following some of these developments here in Arizona that have gone under, and it goes from this bank to this bank to this bank, all of a sudden, boom, into a Delaware corporation with somebody that's listed in the Cayman Islands or something, and they are already starting to consolidate all of these bankruptcies into big giant piles that the bad guys are going to be able to buy with all the TARP money that they got. And I'm going, oh, I see exactly what they learned from the savings and loan, and they're doing it again, right in front of us.
Well, you know, in my book, I said they did it. Yes, there is a they. The captains of finance, their lobbyists, the allies among leading politicians of both parties, and they will emerge largely unscathed, indeed likely wealthier from exploiting the
new bargains
and foreclosed properties and bankrupt businesses that this turmoil provides to those with access to ready cash. There you got it.
Yeah, big time wealthier. They didn't do this without getting wealthier. They already knew it. To say, well, they didn't know. The heck they didn't. And not only did they make money selling all this toxic crap that people saying buy it, then they made money selling those very things they were selling short. You know, how bad does it have to get? There should be absolutely no faith in this financial system. Go buy silver. You know, I've been telling everybody, buy silver. Well, you're glad you bought silver if you did when I was telling you to, because it's doing really well right now, you know, and I'm going, you know, this is just so predictable what's going to happen if you have the understanding that they're fraudulent.
How many politicians were willing to vote against the TARP bailout? You know, they caved.
Oh, no, we got all over John Shattuck here. Matter of fact, I've run against John Shattuck three times. I ran against John McCain. I've been on these guys. And John Shattuck, he's the one that brought back the TARP. And I told him, I said, you guys do this, I will make you suffer. You will never get. And he's not running this year. He decided to pull because we did national socialization of the economy isn't fascist, .. When I do it, John S.S. Shattuck. We had 4x8 signs all over the place when they did that. And they always say, oh, well, I would, you know, we need to get in so that we can prevent, you know, they say all kinds of stupid stuff. And I'm going, John, I can't believe you're saying this stuff. Oh, well, we got to get elected first so we can prevent, you know, the big bad stuff. I'm like, oh, yeah, like national socialization of the economy? You mean like that? And then you bring it back? I hate these guys. They are destroying the future of myself and my grandchildren, my children. This is evil. And it's, you know, and really, it's not after any malicious intent. They don't even, they're not even smart enough to know it. It's because they're so lazy. It's because they allow it to happen. It's because they're weak of character. That's how they get in these positions. And I'm telling you, man, you know, this is, it's going to get a lot worse. And the book by Robert Scheer is The Great American Stick Up. Go get it. Get more information. You got more inside information. How this happened, it's always good. Go ahead and give out a webpage you want for the nice people, Robert.
TruthDig.com. TruthDig.com.
TruthDig.com. And I'm sure I recognize we rip you off. We put a bunch of stuff up on Freedom's Phoenix we've got from TruthDig before. So thank you very much. Go to Freedom's with an S, Phoenix.com, and you'll see, you know, yeah, we promote TruthDig probably more than you think.
Okay. Take care.
Thank you, Robert.
Yeah.
And we'll be back here on Declare Your Independence with me, Ernest Hancock. Oh, I'm in the mood now. Woo! Robert got me in the mood. We'll be right back.